Welcome to installment 220 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. In today's portion, we will once again discuss positive commandment number 97, continuing the discussion of the laws of Tumah V'Tahara, the laws of purity and impurity. This commandment deals with a specific type of impurity known as the Shmeina Shratzim, the eight types of small animals whose dead body conveys impurity. As we have discussed on many occasions, the laws of purity of the Torah are in the category of chukim, laws which are beyond human understanding. It is not speaking of physical dirt of any kind, but rather a purely spiritual concept way beyond human grasp. The Torah has indicated which types of impurity are more severe than others. There is one general category known as aves hatumas, literally fathers of impurity. Only an impurity of this level and significance and strength can render a person or an object, a vessel, impure. Lower levels of impurity can render foods impure, but to render a person or object impure must be an av hatuma. A dead body, as we mentioned previously, is known as avi aves hatuma, literally a grandfather of impurity, since something or some person that touches it becomes an av hatuma, a source of impurity. In today's commandment, we deal with one of these sources of impurity, Shmeina Shratzim, these eight particular animals which are specified by the Torah. There is some dispute as to what they are, but to briefly mention, as we did yesterday, some of the animals which has been discussed, which correspond in Hebrew names, are Cheled, which are translated as a weasel or a rat, an Achbor, which is a mouse, a Tzav, which we will explain later in today's portion, a Noka, variously translated as a gecko, a beaver, or a hedgehog, a Kayach, known as a chameleon, a Lato'o, which is a type of lizard, a chaymate, usually translated as snail, and a tinshemes, which is usually translated as a mole. These eight animals are unique as far as these laws are concerned. As we discussed in previous installments, when it comes to a larger animal, a behema, or a chaya, a wild animal, the law is that if they have died in a way other than through being kosherly slaughtered, they convey impurity known as tumas nevela. This is also an avatuma, source of impurity, and a person that would touch such meat would become impure. However, when it comes to small creeping and walking animals of this nature, the laws of tumas nevela do not apply. If one would touch, therefore, a dead frog or something of the sort, one would not become impure. Only if one touches one of these eight animals after it has died does one become impure. The Tainus Kainim discusses the reaction of Rabbi Akiva when he used to read these verses which list these eight particular types of animals. As we mentioned in the various animals, the third one on the list is Tzav. However, there is something unique when the Torah lists Tzav. It does not only say the animal Tzav, it says Tzav l'minehu, the Tzav to all of its species. Why is it that there is this extra word by Tzav? So the Tainus Kainim says that it includes many different species, subspecies of Tzav. There is a Chabarbur, a Ben Nephilim, and a Salamandra, a Salamander. Incidentally, the Talmud mentions the salamander in a number of places, and also in the Medrash it is mentioned. One of the reasons it is singled out, it is said that the blood, the insides of the salamander, have the power to be a fire retardant, a fire preventative. An interesting story is told in Sefer Chassidim that there was once a certain non-Jew who brought a shirt, and all of the non-Jews were saying that this was the shirt of Yoshka, that it dated all the way back to the founder of Christianity. And he told everybody, if you don't believe me, watch. And he lit a fire, and he threw this shirt into the fire, and nevertheless it was not burnt. And all of the priests were telling the Jews, you see, this is proof that since it was such holiness is in this shirt, it did not even get burned up. One of the sages that was present there said, give me the shirt, and I'll show you what it really is. And he took some strong vinegar and some soap, and he washed the garment in front of them. And he said, now throw it into the fire and see what happens. They threw it into the fire, and immediately the shirt was burnt. They asked him, how did you know to wash it in such a way? So he said that since I saw it resisted the fire, I knew it must have been coated with salamander, with the oils or the blood of the salamander. And therefore I had to wash it in order that the fire should be able to get directly to the garment and burn it. The Talmud in Sanhedrin also mentions this fire retardant property of the salamander and says that Chizkiyahu HaMelech, the king Chizkiyahu, actually was thrown into the fire by his father, and he was saved only because his mother had coated him with some of this salamander. And Rashi explains there that what is the origin of this salamander, that it comes out from Rashi in two different places, that a salamander could be created in a miraculous way, in a way of witchcraft through kishuv, and it could be created in a natural way. If one makes an extremely hot fire, as Rashi says, it must burn for 7 years straight, that eventually this creature will come out of the fire, will be created. And the Talmud says in the Chagiga that this is a proof that Torah sages, Torah scholars, are never harmed by the fire of Gehenna. And they take a proof from the salamander, that the salamander, which is created from the fire, has the power within its blood, that the fire has no power over it. So too, Torah scholars, they are even more so, that since their entire body is fire, since the learning of Torah is compared to fire, and since this is where their entire life from, certainly the fire of a Gehenna could not harm them. In any case, when reaching this verse, the Teiris Kainim quotes Rabbi Akiva, and it's also brought in the Gemara in Chulin, that when he would see all these different types of salamanders, he would say, Marabu Maisecha Hashem, how wondrous, how great are your works, your creatures, Hashem. And he said that you created certain creatures which live in the ocean and certain ones which live on dry land. In general, the ones which live on the dry land, should they go into the water, they would die. And the ones that live in the water, if should they come on the dry land, they would die. So too, you created some animals which are in the fire and some animals which come from the air. Should you take one which comes from the fire, such as a salamander, bring it in the air, it could not survive for a long period of time. Should you take something from the air and put it in the fire, it also would die. It turns out, concludes Rabbi Akiva, that what is the place of life for one is the place of death for another, and vice versa. And Marabu Maisecha Hashem, how great are your works that you have organized the universe in such a specialized fashion that not everything is a source of life or a source of death, that everything is particularly arranged to fit to particular types of creatures. The Rambam mentions in his legal code that in fact this is the way to come to love Hashem, that how can one develop a love for God? It is through meditating on the greatness of his works and the multiplicity in the creation, about the size, the wondrous size of the universe, the planets and their orbits, and all the different types of creatures and plants that he has created, and all the interaction between them, how plant life is transformed to animal life and vice versa, and how things are in a constant state of flux and change. After meditating about the greatness of nature and realizing that Hashem is directing all of it with his intelligence, one will be amazed with the greatness of Hashem and have a desire to come closer to him. And this is the way to fulfill the mitzvah of loving Hashem through meditating on the greatness of the creation. The Mishnah in Chulin mentions another one of these eight animals, and with a very interesting characteristic. We mention the achbar, translated as mouse. And if one touches a dead mouse, one would become impure. However, the Mishnah says that there's a peculiar type of mouse. Half of its body is flesh, and half of its body is earth. And as the commentaries explain, this is a strange sort of mouse, which is not created from another mouse, but rather it is created from the ground. It is actually created from the ground and gradually turns into a mouse. And there is a time in its development when half of it is flesh and the other half of it is dirt. And eventually it develops until it turns entirely into flesh. The Rambam says that in his land, many of these animals were seen, that they were very common. Oh, this sounds to be extremely amazing to us. On the commentary Tiferes Yisrael in the Mishnayos, he says he was once encountered by a heretic who laughed at this whole idea and said that no such thing could possibly exist. At that point, the Tiferes Yisrael pulled out a book from a certain German scientist, a biologist, whose name was Link. And in his book, which is called Urwelt, in the first chapter on page 327, he showed that the scientist Link had found exactly such a mouse in the land of Egypt, in the town of Teboim, or Tebois. And it had a certain name in the land, in the language of the Egyptians, Diphus Yaculus. And he describes this animal that he saw, that the front part of it had a head and a chest and feet, which were in very good form. However, the back was unformed, and it was still in the form of dirt. It was shaped like dirt. And after several days, this mouse would develop until it was entirely flesh, which seems to be almost an exact description of what the Mishnah was talking about. The Mishnah describes another way in which these eight animals are unique. The skin of an animal is usually considered to be something separate from the flesh. Since it is inedible and it is hard, it is of a different category of the flesh. Whereas the skin of these eight animals, according to one opinion, the Mishnah, it's only four of the eight, and according to another opinion, all eight, has the same quality as the flesh. And just as the flesh of these eight animals would render someone impure, so too the skin will render impurity. That since their skin is soft, it is considered in the same category as the flesh. And so too, the Mishnah says, the skin of a human is not like the skin of an animal. The skin of a human is soft, and therefore it is also considered flesh as far as the laws of impurity are concerned. In Hasidic philosophy, these different categories of skin are discussed, and they are compared to the three levels of a person's expression, how a person thinks, how a person speaks, and how a person acts. The thought of a person is a clear expression, or a clear reflection of what the person understands. Usually a person thinks only things which they are capable of understanding. When it comes to the level of speech, one cannot recognize as readily what the speaker really understands. There is a little bit of a gap between speech and what the person knows. Perhaps not everything will be expressed in the speech. On the other hand, when it comes to action, you have even less of a connection between what the person really knows and what the person really feels. There is a big gap. It is sometimes explained in Chassidus that this is the shape of the letter He. The letter He in Hebrew has a right-hand side and a top, both of which are connected, whereas the left leg is separate. It is a separate thing representing action. Thought and speech are both connected and part of the person, whereas the third leg, action, is something which is separate from the person. One cannot necessarily recognize what's going on inside from looking at the actions of a person. In Hasidic philosophy, the realm of action is compared to the skin of an animal. The skin of an animal is separate from the animal itself. It is a separate entity. However, the skin of a human being, it is said there, the skin of a human is compared to speech. It still covers over the person, and one does not see things at face value or skin value, so to speak. Nevertheless, it is closer to the essence of a person, and therefore you can see something of a reflection of the person by looking at the skin of their face. One can tell something about what they're feeling inside even from there. And this is similar to speech, that although it's not a clear reflection of what's going on inside a person, it is a closer reflection than the realm of action. In the scheme of spiritual worlds, they are compared to the two lowest worlds. We learn in Hasidic philosophy and Kabbalah that there are a total of four worlds. The highest, Atzilus, then Bria, then Yetzirah, then Asiya. The idea of the skin of an animal, and also the idea of action, is the idea of Asiya, the lowest of the four worlds. Whereas the idea of the skin of a person, or a person's speech, compares to the world of Yetzirah, where godliness is revealed to a certain extent, more than the world of Asiya, but even less than the higher worlds. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer Mitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.